You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation. Well, good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton greeting you to our program again on another Saturday afternoon, and we greet and welcome all of you. We trust that you're doing well, and we hope you can stay tuned in for the whole hour. We're on every Saturday from 12 noon until 1. And Pastor Don and I, we co-pastor a church here in Stuart. We have for over 21 years now, Spirit of Prophecy Ministries, right out of Revelation 19:10. Is it? What an incredible...
Worship God.
That's right.
For the testimony of Jesus is the Spirit of prophecy. Prophecy.
What an incredible name. So God gave that to me way back before we started the church. And so we're honored to be here with you. As we say, hope you can stay tuned in for the whole hour.
Amen.
If you can't, we offer tapes or CDs, whichever you'd want. And all we ask you to do, if you want one, is just give us a love offering. It will help the ministry. Just whatever the Lord will show you, make out a check, and you can mail it to Spirit of Prophecies Ministry. And that's in Post Office Box 413. That's Stuart, Florida. And our zip is 34995. And tell us the date, whether you want a tape or CD, and we'll be glad to get it out to you. And we'll make that available to you. So we're honored to be here with you all. I hope you've got ears to hear what the Spirit is going to share with you today.
Amen.
And so before we start here, I'm going to have Pastor Donna kind of talk about a couple of things we got coming up that are very important
they
for you.
They can also call the telephone number, area code 772-285-7007. And I'll mention that again in just a moment. Excuse me. Well, we have services here in Stuart, Florida.
Yes, we do.
On Sunday morning at 10 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
And Friday evening at 7 p.m. Amen. Praise God.
And we have our Bible school at 4 on Saturday, don't we?
Right, but not this Saturday. Amen.
Right.
We want to take off a Saturday. But anyways, we also have Prophet Kerry Brooks coming to see us. And when
next
is that
weekend, hallelujah.
When is that going to be?
Next weekend.
Next weekend, which will be on Friday.
Oops.
And Saturday and Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Friday and Saturday at 7 p.m. And Sunday at 10 a.m. And that's at, what's the 6th? June.
6th, 7th, 6th, and 8th.
7th and 8th.
June.
Mm-hmm. Right? And that'll be Pentecost weekend.
We're honored
Praise
to have
the
you.
Lord.
Yeah, it's going to be a good time for him to be here. He's been with us here many times.
We are honored to have him come. And so that's such a blessing to have him come. Praise God. So, you know, join us if you'd like to come and join us for service. It's at 10 a.m. in the morning on Sunday. We're glad to have you. Or Friday nights we have Shabbat. That's at 7 p.m.
Amen.
And I'm going to give the phone number one more time. If they'd like a calendar for June, they can just call and ask for that and be glad to send them a calendar for June. And the phone number here is area code 772-285-7007. I'll repeat it.
Mm-hmm.
Area code 772-285-7007.
Praise the Lord. Amen. So we're honored to be here with you, as we said. We're on every Saturday at this time. And we've been on now. Just thank Donna. July the 8th, it'll be 17 years we've been on the radio here with WCNO. So it's a privilege to be here. We know they're doing a great work, and the word goes out, and wonderful music and all that. And so we're honored to be a part of this ministry. We hope you have ears to hear today what the Spirit of God's going to say to you, because we keep talking about Pentecost because we're coming up, and today happens to be the 46th day of Pentecost, okay? And so that means we're getting very near the 50 days. And so we're going to talk about a couple things here today that I've heard about in the past a little bit. But you know, when we get the Jewish understanding and all, and what some of the rabbis have written and all down through history about the things about Pentecost, it's really an eye-opener. But, you know, they had some wonderful things to say, but we find out that, you know, they were not born again. You know, I'm not talking about the ones before Jesus came, because they couldn't be born again. But after Jesus came, there was a spiritual eye-opening and an awakening in the spirit for people to understand things that Jesus brought to this earth for us when he came to this earth and died and shed his blood for our sins to be forgiven and rose from the grave. And it's incredible what we have. And so if the Jewish people today all over the world, and especially in Israel, I keep praying for them that they'll just come to their Messiah, and some of the things they know from their writings and all that, they'll come alive to them. And so
Amen.
I have a lot of things pass over my desk all the time, all week long, from different ministries, and a lot of them are from Jewish people and Jewish writings and Jewish ministries, and there's some insights that they have, because these people that have these publications, well, they're born again, and a lot of them are spirit-filled as well, and so there's a real depth that comes out of all this. And so I thought we might share something with you here a little bit that I think something that passed over my desk this week. It was really, I read it yesterday and the day before, and the more I looked at it, I said, wow, this is incredible. If the Jewish people could just connect this up and know that the Messiah has already been here, and he's getting ready to come back for them again. They need to accept him before this dreadful day called Jacob's trouble comes, and they can escape all this. And so let's look at some of these things. I thought we might talk about this. Now, I'd known this before in the past, years ago, and never really looked into it in that much depth. Just, you know, knew some things about it. That, you know, the Jewish people in Jesus' day, and they still do it today, Pastor Donna, they have an all-night vigil the night before the 50th day, which is the day of Pentecost. And there's a reason for that. And if we just would think about some things spiritually, you know, all of us, but also the Jewish people, they might see some things maybe they never saw before. And so I've got this publication, and I'm just going to read some things out. And it really pricked my heart this week, because I knew a few things vaguely, but not as in much depth as this article has to say. And so we need to understand what God's wanting us to know. And what we're going to look at here, this article I read, there's a Jewish rabbi, and his name is Joseph Stern, and he wrote a book back in 1993. And I'd heard something about it from J.R. Church at that time when he was still alive. And this book was called The Three Festivals, and it was written in 1993 by this rabbi, Joseph Stern, which means his name is what? Joseph, right? And so let's look. I'm just going to read a few things out of this article, and you'll begin. This ought to stir you up to think about this day, how important it is. And we've been talking about this for weeks. This was the day that God poured his spirit out and the baptism of the Holy Ghost came. And it's so important. But the church is basically, for the most part, just ignores it and says it's not for today. But, you know, the most important thing with us is we come to Yeshua, we're born again. And then the next thing God wanted us to have is what? The baptism of the Holy Ghost. You can read the book of Acts. As soon as they came to Yeshua, what happened? They were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. And sometimes they began to prophesy right then. All right? And so this is what God wants us to know with all this. Although this is incredible to think about what we have with all this. Now, I'm going to read some things out of this article. What most Christians do not realize is that the coming of the Holy Spirit to dwell in the bodies of believers was an event predicted in the Jewish ritual of Pentecost. Way back it was. You can read this, or we might read some things out of Exodus chapter 19. And it's still observed to this day. Jews stay up all night awaiting the daybreak of Pentecost. It's really clear. It's written in this man's book as well. Now, listen to this. He said this. Throughout the world, the Jews observed centuries-old custom of conducting an all-night vigil dedicated to Torah reading and learning on the first night before Pentecost. Isn't that something? They spent all night doing this.
That would be the 49th day.
The 49th day, waiting for it to be the 50th day. A careful reading of the account, we've already done this over the last couple of weeks, in Acts 2:1, reveals that the Holy Spirit, what, descended around daybreak. Wasn't that one? Remember, Peter spoke, what, at 9 o'clock in the morning, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, it says over there. Over the next 3 hours, up to what? Till 9 o'clock,
this word of this wonderful event that God wanted spread across the city, and the people crowded in to hear the Peter say, "For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is what, the third hour of the day." Yeah. So this was an incredible event and a phenomenon that happened, and it was, you know, there was fire resting on the people's shoulders. We talked about that last week, and they actually saw that, and they were all given what, an individual tongue to speak on behalf of God. Now we know this, that Peter delivered the sermon at 9 o'clock on that day. And logic would have us to assume, I thought this was an interesting comment he made, that those 120 believers that were in the upper room had stayed up all night. I never thought about this till this week. They had stayed up all night and ritual observed what? By all Torah practicing Jews. And that's an interesting thought. I never gave it much thought. Think of it. They were more likely that night before the 50th day, they were up all night studying the Torah and looking into it. Now listen to what happens with all this. This is interesting in this article. Jews regard the 49 days from Pentecost, the first fruits, until Pentecost as a time called spiritual purification. I thought this was incredible, huh?
That's right.
Spiritual purification that grows in intensity during the 7 weeks of this counting the Omer.
Haven't we been talking about that?
That's right.
Getting closer and closer to the
God.
Lord.
That's right.
Purity.
So they want to do that for these 49 days until it reaches a climax on the night of Pentecost.
Mm-hmm.
Now, these 49 days are observed as 49 levels of purity. I thought this was incredible.
Amen.
49 levels of purity, getting closer to God. Last Friday.
It's like going up that step.
Yeah, it's Sunday. Yeah, we challenged people. This week we'd be getting down to, during the week, we'd be down to the last 10 days to get before God, ask Him if there's something that needs to be changed or He wants you to do, and get before Him, and it's going to bring a purity in our heart that we will have what? A pure heart and clean hands before Him. Now, each day is an impurity, as this impurity drops away until at last the person that's doing this is free from what? Earthly contaminants. We're in this world, Jesus said, what? But we're not part of this world. Amen. So we don't want to participate in all the sin that's going on in the world and all that. It's everywhere we look. But God says we're in this world, but we're not part of it. So we got to keep that in mind all the time. Now, this Rabbi Stern wrote this. He says, during these days and weeks, our personal efforts to cleanse ourselves of spiritual impurities are critical. So we have to make a step toward God. He'll step toward you and I. However, if we make sincere efforts during this time, if we make the spiritual offering with God during the 49 days, this is what's important. If we're willing to do that, okay, during this time, these 49 days, we can be what? Assured that God will shower us with an outpouring of what? Of spiritual purifications that we can receive in on the night of Pentecost. Isn't that incredible?
Awesome.
So He'll shower us with that outpouring. And then, of course, on the night before the Pentecost, what happened? That's when they get so sincere with God, they get into the Word and all that. And even the sages all said this, that someone who comes to purify himself will receive what? Divine help. So when the Holy Ghost comes, what do we have? We have divine help. We have divine help when He comes.
Because he's our helper.
He's called the Comforter, isn't He? Amen?
That's right.
That's
Comforter.
Right. So think about this.
Teacher.
Now. That's right. The result of the all-night vigil comes at daybreak as the Jews recite the Ten Commandments. At that moment, it is believed that the Jew receives the outpouring, and this Rabbi Stern writes and said this, King David alludes to the relationship between our efforts at discussing the Torah on Pentecost night, and reciting the Ten Commandments the next morning. Isn't that incredible? We merit what? To commune with God's presence. We want His presence more than anything.
Amen.
We want to commune to have God's presence. And the following morning through what? The Ten Commandments. That's what it was all about. Now to the Jews, this outpouring of God's presence is a fleeting thing, they think. Now listen to this. Rabbi Stern explains this. He says, even in their Zohar also reminds us that this time called spiritual purification that descends on those who immerse themselves in Torah study on this night is a fragile thing, he said. Unless we take active steps to preserve it throughout the year, we cannot be assured that it will remain with us. We talk about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. If we don't function, use it, pray in that language, and operate, what happens?
It becomes dormant.
It's going to be dormant. It's going to go dead in us. It's a continual thing. Now, he says, through our efforts during the 7 weeks of this purification process, we merit the creation of what? A pure heart. For ourselves. I love that.
Amen.
However, it takes the all-night vigil of Pentecost to give it a permanent example in our lives, a permanent thing, and turn it into what? A steadfast spirit that will endure throughout the entire year. Well, we have him all the time. Don't we have the Holy Ghost all the time?
Thank you, Lord.
Learn that Rabbi Stern's divine presence, also called this time of spiritual purification, is associated with a spirit. Now, this is key. Which he calls a steadfast spirit. Now, Luke was a writer of the book of Acts. We all know that. Calls this steadfast spirit by his now familiar name, what? The Holy Ghost.
The Holy Ghost.
It should not be surprising to us, then, that the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the second chapter of Acts was a fulfillment of the Pentecost ritual that we were talking about. We've talked about this for several weeks. To this day, Jews observe the ritual. We observe the ever-present fact. So they do it every year. They have an all-night vigil. Isn't that incredible? They want to get right with God. But see, they can't get right with God until they have Yeshua in their lives.
First, they have to ask Yeshua in life before they can receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
That's right. And this article goes on and talks about the languages of fire that we see about that happened in Acts chapter 19, and also it happened on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. He says this event, which resulted from the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, has been the talk of Christianity in every succeeding generation. Just what was it all about? Rabbi Stern attempts an explanation on this. And this is a man that's not born again. He refers to the ritual of reciting the Ten Commandments at daybreak following the all-night vigil. The Hebrew term for speech is a word pronounced dibur, D-I-B-B-U-R, and it's a form of the word dabar, D-A-B-A-R, which means what? The word, okay? And so he goes on in his book and says this, the form of dibur that originated at Sinai can be separated into two components. Listen to this. One characterized by the rough sounds of speech that emerge from the mouth and the articulate speech that emanates from the tongue. The tongue. That's what Pentecost has changed. It's a tongue. The first is more of a surface phenomenon, while the second originates from a deeper, not readily evident source. Well, what's that deeper one? That's the Spirit of God that's in us if we're born again.
A new tongue.
That's right, a new tongue. Even to the Jew, the effect of all-night vigil should express itself in an elevation of speech from the rough sounds that emerge from the mouth to the articulate speech that originates from a deeper source inside the spirit man. In other words, the purified person who has been studying the Mosaic books for 49 days should experience an elevation in his ability to speak. Thus, this expected miracle reflects back upon the story in Exodus 19 that we talked about last week, in which God spoke audibly and gave the Ten Commandments. So this is going to verify what we've been talking about over the months. The rabbinical sources say that as God began to utter each commandment, a fire emerged from his mouth. The fire immediately separated itself into 70 languages and quickly moved throughout the world so that all people could hear each commandment in their native tongues. What happened in Acts chapter 2? The same thing, huh? The amazed Israelites watched as the Hebrew portion of that fiery language descended and stood before each person. The fiery tongue said, "Do you understand this commandment?" Their reply was what? It was a yes or an affirmative, okay? Then the tongue would say, "Do you promise to keep this commandment?" After each acknowledgement, the fiery language would return to the top of the summit of Mount Sinai and engrave the commandment into the tablets of stone. Isn't that incredible? Huh? Glory be to God.
Amen.
Now, we know this is not described directly in the Bible, but the Jewish understanding of this is here. And so he goes on, this is the end of it. Though it was not described in this manner in the Holy Scripture, the fiery tongues in Acts 2 lend credibility to the Jewish account of the first Pentecost in Acts chapter 19. Even since that day, ever since then, Jews have observed the all-night vigil with the expectation that a heavenly dibur or speech will attend to their recitation of the Ten Commandments at daybreak. Isn't that incredible? So, reading the article, it sounds like there was a guttural thing in saying how the Jews, they had that guttural sound. But see, he wanted to be something deep in their heart that was going to change their speech to something they didn't know. And that's what Acts chapter 2 was all about, wasn't it, Pastor?
Amen.
So I thought this was incredible, what God's showing us with. And so they stay up all night, and they're coming up to that time. They're going to stay up all night. And here they are, the rabbis over there. We know that in Israel. They've been studying the Torah for what? Today's the 46th day. They've been studying the Torah every day for 46 days. So you'd wonder how somehow along the way they couldn't put this together and know that there's a tongue. Even Isaiah talked about there was going to be a stammering tongue that was going to it was going to speak to them of a language they didn't know. It's right in the Bible. And even Paul alluded to it in the New Testament as well. And so you wonder how they couldn't connect this. But
hopefully, maybe some of them did.
Right.
Amen.
But they have to first connect with what? Yeshua.
That's right.
And we know that the baptism only comes subsequent, what? to being born again.
First, they have to be born again,
born from above. And so that's our prayer for the Jewish people.
So we pray that they read some in the New Testament.
That's right.
They read some of the things that Jesus said, and some of the things that happened in the book of Acts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, perhaps there are some, and I believe there are many, that are receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit and are believing on Jesus.
But, you know, most of the Jewish people we've met, I remember this one rabbi mm-hmm. that came to our church on a Saturday, and he got born again. You know, they believed in it, and they just received everything that God has. He received the baptism of the Holy Ghost also. And so it's incredible. God wants them to have that. He wants all of us, Jew and Gentile alike, to have this. I'm going to go over to...
Who were they talking to at this time? They were talking to Jewish people.
That's right.
You know, in the Acts chapter
1.
They're talking to Jewish people.
It was in Jerusalem.
It was in Jerusalem, and they were in the place Jesus told them to stay. They were waiting. He said to wait and tarry in Jerusalem until you are baptized with
the Holy Ghost. And with power. Huh?
Not many days hence. He told them it's not going to be many days hence. They knew that Pentecost was... a short time away, just a few days, maybe eight, 10 days away. So they knew that they were waiting for a certain thing to happen. And since they all looked to Pentecost, they all knew about Pentecost.
Sure did, Shavuot.
I'm sure they expected something to happen on Shavuot. So they said, if anything's going to happen, you know, you say if anything good is going to happen,
yes.
it's going to happen on Shavuot. That's when God talked to his people.
That's right.
You know, I can just hear him.
Yeah.
That's when God talked to his people. How is God going to talk to us now? Well, they found out, didn't they?
Yeah.
And Jesus said, that's when you will receive power. After the Holy Ghost has come upon you.
Yeah.
And that's when you're going to be witnesses where? Everywhere. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, everywhere.
The uttermost parts of the world. Yeah.
And didn't that happen on the day of Pentecost? Because there were people from all nations. The Bible even tells us they were from every nation under heaven. That's in verse 5 in chapter 2. So even in this other one was in verse 1, chapter 8. So here we have what Jesus said over here in this chapter, and then the fulfillment here in the next chapter.
Just 10 days later,
the second chapter, right?
Mm-hmm.
He says, when the Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. So they listened, they obeyed. And of course, then it talks about that wind, the mighty wind that came in. And it says here that they were all filled, and there were people, and there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout. See, these are godly men.
That's right.
Devout men mm-hmm. out of every nation under heaven. So that scripture is so fulfilled right there.
Sure is.
It's fulfilled right there. And then it's to what? Continue.
Never did, just like
never
an article.
To end.
They were concerned about keeping that new voice they had and all. During the year.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Holy Ghost is with us.
He doesn't leave us. He just doesn't come on one day and that's it. You know,
nope.
No, we're to continue to pray in the Spirit, in the Holy Ghost.
And if we don't, we'll lose it.
They were all baptized,
right.
It'll go dormant. You know, I don't think anybody really loses it.
It goes dormant.
It just, you know, it becomes inactive. I mean, and, you know, because the more you pray, the more you exercise this, because it brings the spiritual gifts, gifts of the Spirit.
Sure does.
The more you exercise praying in the Spirit, you know, it builds. It's like anything else. It's you build spiritual muscles. You
That's
know,
it.
You're going to be building. You're going to go out and run. You're going to build muscles in your legs, right?
That's right.
Well, if you pray in the Holy Ghost and you do what God tells you to do, you're going to, and you read your Word, you're going to be building those spiritual muscles,
we'll
and
be
you'll
built
be getting
up. Yeah.
the mind of Christ, and
That's
you'll be
right.
doing what God says to do, and you'll speak what He says, and you'll love everyone. You
That's
know,
right.
you will be changed,
mm-hmm.
and you will be holy. Because we can't keep the law or can't keep the holiness with our own power or our own mind or, you know, our own convictions, because we fail.
That's
we
right.
slip up from time to time.
That's it.
But when we trust in the Holy Spirit, the Bible talks about being led.
By the Spirit.
Being led by the Holy, that means being following the Holy Spirit.
That's
being
it.
Led by
mm-hmm.
the Holy Spirit. Then, you know, the Holy Ghost is not going to lead us into any error.
That's right.
He won't take us down the wrong road. We won't make mistakes. We'll do the right thing. So it's the power. He says, you're going to receive power, verse 8, but ye shall receive power, see, after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So we need that power.
Sure do.
We need the power from God. It's God's power.
So basically what God's saying here then is if we don't have the Holy Ghost, we're basically powerless. We don't. We might have a portion, but we're powerless to really accomplish anything.
We're running on our own energy and our own energy will run out.
That's right.
Where the energy of the Lord, the power of the Lord, will never run out. You know, our bodies get tired, they get weak, they get sick, things happen. You know, but the power of God, it's always there. It's always there.
That's right.
Even when we don't feel like it, it's there. The power of God is always with us.
And the one thing, that one verse that caught my eye, Pastor, and I, we talked about it last week. It says when they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak by the Spirit of God, it tells you there that it was noised abroad.
That's right.
And so here they were.
It was heard.
They were praising God and rejoicing in the attributes of God. How in the spirit of a language they didn't know. And so we have people today saying, well, if you have you're having a church meeting, that people can't get up and pray in their heavenly language out loud.
They were
speaking. It should be noised. It should be noised out.
They were speaking the wonderful works
of God to bring unity.
They were talking to the people in the streets at that time. They were in one room, in one accord.
That's right.
And they weren't concerned about what was outside. See, that's the problem. People get too concerned about what's going on around them. What's outside? Who's sitting next to you?
That's right.
No, that's the problem. Because people get off. And what happens? When you start getting concerned about other things, then you know what you're doing. You're really quenching the Holy Spirit. You're quenching the Holy Ghost. And you're thinking. You got your mind off of God and off of the things of the Spirit of God. And so, you know, you're thinking about this, you're thinking about that, so you're not really focused.
That's it.
So if you can't get focused on the things of God, then, you know, it's just...
You won't receive much, will you?
No, and it's going to be a mixture. So they weren't concerned about what was going on the street. They were concerned that there were thousands of people from every nation out there.
Right.
They were only concerned about doing what Jesus said.
That's right.
Get together in the room and stay and be in one accord and wait. And so that's all they were concerned about doing. So because they did what they were told to do, that because they followed the Lord, what Jesus told them, that's why these other things happened. See, things will happen when you follow what God tells you to do.
That's right.
There'll be a happening. There'll be a manifestation. They weren't expecting this manifestation.
They didn't know what it was going to be. No.
Or all these people, you know.
Yeah.
They were just in one room, in one accord. They weren't out there talking in tongues in the streets. No, they were just worshiping God in that room and praising God in that prayer language.
And then they came out, hallelujah.
And that's when, see, the noise, because of the noise that you talked about, people were drawn to it.
That's
because
right.
Because of the noise and something new, and they heard languages, that they heard their languages. And how can you hear so many people and you hear a word in your own language? Well, God causes those things to happen. And so they heard them talking about the wonderful works of God. They weren't talking about anything else except the wonderful works
of
God.
God.
And that's what drew them, because these were devout men from every nation.
Every nation around, yeah. We had 70 nations we just read over in Exodus chapter 19. Now, we don't have 70 mentioned there in Acts 2, but there's a good number. And so they were devout, what?
Mm-hmm.
Jews from all the world, all the men had to be there. Some of them, it took them several months to get there.
Well, it doesn't name all of them, but it says the scripture before, it says, out of every nation under heaven. That means what? Every
nation that was there. And like here, we talked about the Jews believed that there were 70 nations at Mount Sinai when God spoke, and how his voice reverberated around and gave them all an opportunity to hear what God was saying. So it's incredible. But the amazing thing I thought about when I read this article was about those 120 people or so in that upper room, and the night before Pentecost, they stayed up all night. Isn't that incredible? And read the Torah and all that, and studied.
Sought the Lord.
That's right. So I want to go over to Exodus chapter 19 with you for a couple minutes, and just kind of look at this, and we'll kind of connect it together if we can. I'm going to start in verse 7 of Exodus 19. And it says, "And Moses came and called for the elders of the people, and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him." Moses got it from God, and then he laid it before the people. And verse 8, "And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord." They say, we'll do. And so all the Jewish people believe this, and we'll see this down here in a moment, how they understand this, that all those nations heard. Now verse 9. Think of how could God speak from heaven and not everybody hear it? Yeah.
Right.
Verse 9. "And the Lord said unto Moses, lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee and believe thee forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord." Now, verse 10, and the Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people and sanctify them, set them apart, in other words, today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes. They have to take a mikvah, okay? And be ready against the third day, for the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. Well, remember, we talked about this last week. They traveled when they came out. They traveled and they got when they got to Mount Sinai, it was the 47th day. So he told them he's going to set them aside for 3 days, okay? And it says, and the Lord's going to come down to the people upon Mount Sinai, come down on all the people. Well, when is that? It's the 50th day. And thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, take heed to yourselves that ye go not up into the mount or touch the border of it. Whosoever touches the mount shall be what? Surely put to death. There shall not a hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through. Whether it be a beast or man, it shall not live. When the trumpet soundeth long, they shall come up to the mount. Well, that trumpet is the voice of God, it sounds like to me. Verse 14, and Moses went down from the mount unto the people and sanctified the people, set them apart, and they washed their clothes. And he said unto the people, be ready against the third day, come not at your wives. And it came to pass on the third day, listen, in the morning, this is the same time that the baptism of the Holy Ghost fell over in Acts chapter 2 when Peter spoke and all, early in the morning on the third day, okay, that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. Now, so it says there was thunders and lightnings here. Now, I want to stop right here for a moment and show you something here. I'm going to go over to chapter 20. I'm going to come back here. I just want to show you something here. Now, it says in chapter 20, verse 18, it says this, and all the people saw the thunderings. You can't see thunder. Mm-hmm. Do you see thunder? You can't see thunder, but they saw the lightnings, okay, and the noise of the trumpet. This was God. And the mountain smoking, and when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And then God told them in verse 20, fear not, for God has come to prove you, and that this fear may be before your faces, that you sin not, and since the people stood afar off. So the thunderings here, the Jews interpret this to mean different voices that God spoke. The trumpet was God's trumpet, okay? And so God was speaking from that mountain. And
he still speaks through the thunder.
That's right. And we just thundered outside here, so praise God. And so this is interesting with what we have. Now let's go on down now. I'm in verse 17 now, back in Exodus 19. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God. And they stood at the nether part of the mount. They were at the foot of the mountain. And Mount Sinai was altogether on smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire. Remember in Acts chapter 2, they all had tons of fire resting on their shoulders. Not on a mountain, but on individuals. And the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. Now listen to this. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long, well, what voice was that? That was God's voice. And waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him, how? By a voice. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai. So this is incredible. And so the fulfillment of this in Yeshua's life was what happened in Acts chapter 2, wasn't it, Pastor Donna?
Amen.
And so here we see, and we have another prophetic pattern here about the Lord coming down on the third day. There's going to be a resurrection and a catching away after 2,000 years from the time that Jesus went back to be with his Father, on the beginning of that third day, which is what? The millennial kingdom. There's going to be what? A resurrection out from among the dead, and there will be a catching away. So here's another pattern in all this showing this. But this is at Pentecost. That's why some people think maybe that Yeshua is going to come back at Pentecost. But I don't see that in the scriptures totally, because the latter festivals have not been fulfilled. And this one has been fulfilled already in the Messiah, our Savior's life. So this is incredible. And now I'm thinking about something else about the mountain, Donna. I'm going to go over to Hebrews with you. If you want to turn, if you're home, get your Bible out. If you've got it in front of you, I'm going to go to the book of Hebrews. I want to show you something here. Hallelujah. In chapter 12, listen to this. Glory. Don't you love the Word of God, Pastor Donna?
Good.
I love it. I love to read it on the radio, too. Now listen to this. Where do I want to start at?
And that's what a lot of people like. Mm-hmm. We need to hear the Word of God.
That's right. I'm going to start in verse 15, chapter 12. Listen to this. Looking diligently, well, I'm going to read verse 14. This is important. Follow peace with all men and holiness,
yes,
without which no man shall see the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you and thereby many be what? Defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, talking about now back to Exodus 19, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words. This word here in the Greek is rhema, the living words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. They were dreadfully in fear. Verse 20, for they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. We just read that over in Exodus 19. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But ye are, listen to this now, this is for believers today, in Yeshua, all, Jew and Gentile. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly. This is the great assembly, huh? Jew and Gentile, and the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel.
Amen.
See that you refuse not him that speaketh. He's speaking to all of us today. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. Listen to this, in the last days. Huh? And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, and that those things which cannot be shaken, what, may remain. Remember, judgment is going to start in the house of God. Hallelujah. Wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is what? A consuming fire. Isn't that incredible?
Amen.
The power just came back on. We had a power failure real quick here. That's all right. We're going right on. So this is incredible what happened at Mount Sinai.
Amen.
And so God's telling us now and warning us about all this, that there's going to be a shaking one day. But the key thing is God wants us to know that our latter years will be greater than the former years. Isn't that incredible?
That's right.
And I think it's mentioned in the book of Haggai, Pastor. Now you go ahead and say something. I'm going to go and turn over to the book of Haggai for a moment. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
So we're talking about,
thank you, Lord.
We're almost to Pentecost.
Thank
we're
you, Lord.
To the 50th day. We're very, very close. And so we just praise God for what he's going to do with all this
thank
with us.
You, Lord.
And so we give you glory and honor and praise for that, Father.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. In Haggai chapter 2, I'm going to start in verse 20. Listen to this. And again, the word of the Lord came unto Haggai in the 24th day of the month, saying, speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I will shake the heavens and the earth, and I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms, and I will destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the heaven, of the heathen, I should say, and will overthrow the chariots and those that ride in them, and the horses and their riders shall come down, every one by the sword of his brother. In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, will I take thee, O Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, saith the Lord, and I will make thee as a signet, for I have chosen thee, saith the Lord of hosts. So this is a picture of Yeshua also. Zerubbabel was what? He was the governor of Jerusalem at that time. And there was a Joshua, not the Joshua we see in the Old Testament way back, but there was a Joshua there, and what was he? He was the high priest. And so we see the promises right here. It leads up to all this shaking that's going to come. And so the baptism of the Holy Ghost is so important for us to grab hold of.
The Holy Ghost and fire.
That's
right. You see, so much of Jesus. God is still a consuming fire. Mm-hmm. You read that over there in Hebrews, right?
That's right.
Chapter 12.
He's a consuming fire.
The last verse.
He certainly is.
For our God is a
consuming fire. That's right.
And we're to be baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire.
That's right.
You know, a lot of people just leave the fire part out. What is the fire for?
To cleanse us, to burn out all the chaff, the stuff that God doesn't want.
To cleanse us, to burn it all out. And also to get us on fire.
That's right.
For the Lord.
That's right.
We need to be on fire for the Lord. You know, so many people just aren't on fire for the Lord. Well, I'm born again, and I don't need that baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Don't need it.
See, that's the lie of the devil.
That's right.
He lies. And because, you know, he doesn't want you to have the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire.
That's right.
Because then you are going to be you're going to be dangerous for the enemy,
right,
against the enemy, because you're going to be able to move in the power of the Lord, power of God, because God is a consuming fire.
Amen.
You know, even though, and we still have warnings. Look at the warnings you just read over there in Hebrews, and there's even more. You know, that we are to seek holiness, right?
That's right.
And so he is. He is the fire that will burn away
all the bad chaff.
But he's also the fire. It's almost like the fire is good, you know. He's also the fire that's going to keep us burning for him.
That's right. I want to read something else here.
Keep our light.
Yeah, that's right. We got to keep it burning all the time. But we can't let it go out.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm going to go back to Haggai for a moment, just for a couple, three verses in chapter 2 again. Verse 6 says, "For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once, it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. And I will shake all nations, and the desire of the nations shall come." This is a picture of Yeshua.
Mm-hmm.
"And I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts." And this was all done on the 24th day of the ninth month, which is what? The month of Kislev. This was done and mentioned 360 years before Hanukkah was ever put in place. Isn't that incredible? So we have amazing patterns all through the Bible about this wonderful thing that God wants us to do. Amen. About speaking in tongues. And what is it for? Is it some kind of badge or merit that you're like when I was in the Boy Scouts, I got a merit badge for different things? No, it's not. It's for us. It's for us to have the power and the authority and the anointing that our light will shine and more people will come into the kingdom of God. And I just speak this for Roscoe and Audrey over on Andros Island.
Amen.
Glory be to them and their group. They're walking in the fullness of this, and those people are going to be touched by the Holy Ghost and with fire to change them. And so we just release that to the island of Andros through the temple of God over there with Roscoe and Audrey Walks, the apostle and prophet on that island. Glory be to God. They pray in the Holy Ghost, and this thing's
Amen.
Going to happen. We thank you for that.
Glory
be to God. Go right ahead, Pastor. I know you got something else you want to share there.
No, I'm not. It's exciting.
Hallelujah.
So remind people that Prophet Gary Brooks is going to be with us on Pentecost Sunday and also the Friday and Saturday before that. So mark your calendar for June 6th, 7th, and 8th because we're going to have Prophet Gary Brooks with us. Awesome man of God.
Brings us into the presence of God, doesn't he?
He brings us into the presence of God. Amen. Glory to God. That's what we need.
That's
right. We need to get into his presence.
Into his presence.
Stay a while.
That's
Don't
right.
just come in, run in, run out.
That's right.
Stay a while.
That's right. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Glory be to God.
We thank
love
you, Lord.
So we're thanking you for the day of Pentecost. It's coming up. The church will celebrate it next weekend, but we're talking about it here, and this weekend, actually on the Jewish calendar, it will come this weekend.
Sivan 6.
It's actually Sivan 6,
which isn't on Sunday, but that's when the church celebrates it on that Sunday after Pentecost. Pentecost actually will fall during the middle of the week. But, you know, it was on a Sunday at that time.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, of course, our calendars have been changed. They all change. So we go by the Hebrew calendar. And, of course, since it was on a Sunday, we do celebrate on a Sunday. So that's okay. Amen. God knows that.
That's right.
Amen.
I'm going to turn over to Isaiah chapter 28 with you now. Just want to show you something here in the Word of God. And I hope we've got time to do a couple more things.
Mm.
This was written in the first covenant, and the Jews today, they don't know Yeshua, so they don't see this, but we that are born again, we see this. In chapter 28, I'm going to start in verse 9. Listen to this. "Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast." Now listen to this. "For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. With stammering lips,
right,
and another tongue will he speak to this people." This Paul mentioned this in 1 Corinthians 14:21. "To whom he said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear." See, the baptism gives you a refreshing, doesn't it, Pastor Don?
Amen.
Now, one more verse. "But the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little." He repeats it again. "That they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. Wherefore, hear the word of the Lord." And he goes on. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So, it brings joy and refreshing. Now, I want to give you another. Here's another example of a tongue and interpretation. Let's go over, Pastor Donna, to Daniel. I think it's in chapter 8. Let's go to Daniel.
Okay.
And this was an interpretation, okay? And no one knew this language, okay, when the finger of God came into the place where Belshazzar was misusing the things that God had put in place, okay?
The holy things out of the temple. Yep. He took the things he stole from
That's
the temple
right.
in
and
Jerusalem.
And they were drunk and all that. And
having a party.
And so right in the middle of all this, what happens? Glory be to God.
Well, God shows up.
And he did what?
He wrote on the wall.
He wrote on the wall with his finger.
A warning.
Yeah, a warning. And I'm going to read this to you. And then with Belshazzar, with his soothsayers and all those, they could not interpret what was being said. So they knew Daniel was a wise man, and he heard from God. And so they called Daniel, didn't they, Pastor Don? And this finger wrote on the wall, and this is what it says, okay? The finger wrote on this wall. I'm in chapter 5, verse 26 or 25. Listen to this. This is what the finger wrote. And this is the writing that was written. Many, many tekel upharsin. This is the interpretation, Daniel says, of the thing. Many, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and are found what? Wanting or lacking. Perez, this is a plural, one of these words. Thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with a scarlet and put a chain of gold about his neck and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be what? The third ruler in the kingdom. Now look what happened, these next two verses. In that night was Belshazzar, the king of Chaldeans, slain. Right after this was written on the wall. And Darius the Mede took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. So here was a tongue written on a wall that no one knew in the world. And Daniel interpreted by the power of God and what and brought judgment to what? That empire. Isn't it correct?
Judgment came right then and there.
That quick. Babylonians went down, didn't they?
A few years later, it happened right then and there.
That's right.
Because they were profaning the holy things of God.
So we have some examples in the first covenant even that leads to understanding about all this that God's going to speak to a lot of people with stammering tongues. And a lot of people say, well, that's just what it's just stammering tongues. It don't mean anything. But it means something important. Now, many times we pray in the Spirit, in our heavenly language, and I don't know what I'm praying, but I know it's my heavenly language, and I know that I'm rejoicing with God. I'm lifting Him up, and many times He'll show me what I'm praying to Him, and then I get the interpretation. Maybe I'm praying for somebody that I don't know how to pray, and I begin to go into a tongue, and what happens? He gives me the interpretation, and then we speak the word that He gave us, and then He just takes it from there with us. Pastor, done that, right? So and we don't have to do that to prophesy over somebody, but the key thing is many times when you do that, you're going to hear the voice of God. Amen? And so I want to hear from God and not my mind. So the Bible says when we speak in a tongue, what do? We're speaking to God and not to men, okay? So only God knows what He's giving us, but we can ask for the interpretation. The Bible says what we can sing in the Spirit, and we can sing with the understanding. We can pray in the Spirit, and we can have the understanding as well. So many times we do, and sometimes we don't. But the thing is, it tells us, Paul also said this, building up your most holy faith by praying in the Spirit. Well, how do you pray in the Spirit if you're not baptized with the Holy Ghost? How can you pray in the Spirit? It's got to be, in other words, God's going to tell you what to pray if you just do it with Him, and you build up your holy faith as you do it. Pray in the tongues in your spiritual language. What's going to happen? God's going to build you up. He's going to show you more. When you're going through hard times, just stop and begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. Now, if you don't have it, you can receive it. All you have to do is ask and receive. Jesus, ask and you shall receive. And you can receive that. Well, many people don't believe it is for today, Pastor Donna, because many are told that it's not for today, that's been done away with. And the second thing is many people have never asked God regardless. So I don't care what man says. I want to do what the book I have in front of me says. The Bible says this, amen. Let God be true and every man a liar, okay? So we need to walk into the fullness of this. This is going to give you the power. This is going to give you the anointing to declare the word of God with power and authority that's going to prick people's hearts like Peter did on the day of Pentecost. That's what we need today out in this world. And instead of our countries drifting the wrong way because there's no power in the church, they're all doing their own thing and they're not doing what the Bible says in so many arenas. And so, Lord, these things that we read in this book right here, these are not suggestions. These are commandments that we're supposed to do. And I'm going to go over to 1 Corinthians with you, chapter 14. Go there with me. I want to show you something. This is very important. And we need to put this in our heart. And I don't know why people look over this and we just don't. We say, well, it's not for today, when it is for today. Now let's look at chapter 14 in 1 Corinthians. I'm going to start in verse 37. Paul says, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him what? Acknowledge that the things that I write unto you, now listen to this, all these things in chapter 12, 13, 14, are the commandments of the Lord. And when he gives us a commandment, he does not take it away. Mm-hmm. He says, but if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. A lot of people want to remain ignorant. They believe the lie that they can't have this for the day. And you know, if a lie's taught about long enough, it becomes truth to a lot of people. But see, let him be ignorant. But I'm not ignorant. I have it. They tell me, well, you're speaking from the devil. I says, I've got news for you. I'm speaking for God, and I've got it. I've got it. Do you have it, Pastor Don? I've got it. And so we know this. So he says, but if any man be ignorant, just let him remain ignorant, in other words. But listen to this now. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy. Most of the church despises this, that we can't speak on God's behalf. That's what happened in Acts chapter 2. We can speak on God's behalf now. Covet to prophesy and forbid not to speak with what? Tongues. Isn't that incredible?
Amen.
And he says, let all things be done decently in order. Well, all the church is afraid something's going to be out of order. How can anything be out of order if you're not doing anything?
If you don't do anything.
And we started our church 21 years ago. And we had the baptism, we started the church and all that, but we had a lot of things we didn't know, but the Holy Ghost led us, didn't he, Pastor?
He's our teacher.
And so we moved through it. And I'm telling you, I can't think of anything that we ever had in service that was completely out of order. God was always there. If we allow the Holy Ghost to lead and guide, he'll be there. But here's the key thing. If ministers, when they have their meetings with their people, if they don't release themselves to the Holy Ghost and they want to do what they want to do, you know what will happen? The Holy Ghost is a gentleman. He'll just step to the side and he'll say, have your way, and I'll just stand over on the side. When you get ready to have me, then I'll come back.
That's right.
And so what happens? Not much happens. Amen. They're not laying on hands for people that are sick. They're not praying for one another. They're not allowing the Spirit of God to move with the nine manifestations we have here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. They're shutting all that down. And you know what they're doing? They're blaspheming the Holy Ghost. Jesus, remember he said
that's scary.
That's
like
scary. He said, you can talk about my Father, you can talk about me, but he says, when you blaspheme the Holy Ghost, it will not be forgiven in this life or the one to come. Boy, that's pretty scary. Knees ought to be knocking. So we do not want to blaspheme anything. This book I have before me, hallelujah, thank you for the King James Bible, Lord. This book, from beginning to end, is for today. Nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. It's all for us. He's shown us the good and the bad in the first coming. He showed us how to walk a holy life and all that. We've come to Yeshua. And so everything in here is apropos. So most people spend all their time in the New Testament today. That's fine, I guess. But see, we need the first covenant as well. And so this is what God wants us to know. So everything that was written in this book has never been removed. When we just read that, these are the commandments of the Lord. When he gives us a commandment, he does not take it away. He doesn't give you something and then take it away. He gave the early church the Holy Ghost, and a bunch of people after that received it for all those years, and it went down. And there was always a remnant that received the Holy Ghost all down through history. Did God eventually one day just take it away? You know who took it away? Man did. Man began to teach it wasn't for today.
Man.
It was done away. Man did it.
Started controlling.
That's right. Let God be true and every man a liar. They started to control what God was wanting to do. And it was the power and the anointing that they need. Look at some of the incredible evangelists that we've had down through the history in our country and all, you know, even in England, you know, with Smith Wigglesworth and the Parhams and all the wonderful people that walked in the fullness of the anointing of the power of God. And so we pulled this all out. And people say it's not for today. Well, it is for today. It is for today.
Amen.
So we need to receive this. And so this is what the Pentecost is all about, that God is continuing to do a work. He has not stopped in that arena. His desire is that every person that comes to Yeshua will be baptized in the Holy Ghost and move in the realm of the Spirit. If you doubt it, look in the book of Acts. Every time that someone was born again, the actual God's empowering presence was manifested, and the proof of it was what? They began to speak in tongues, and many of them even prophesied at that time as soon as they got born again. So that's what we need. We need that. That's the power that we have. No, you know, I think about this. I mentioned the church. You know, Paul said, I pray in tongues. I pray in tongues more than you all.
More
well, why would
all.
He be doing that? Because of what he went through. He was beaten, flogged, all the things he went through. He was praying in tongues all the time.
He was a worshiper of God.
That's right, to build himself up.
Because those who pray in tongues are worshiping God.
That's right.
It even says that over here in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. It says, follow after charity
that's right.
and desire spiritual gifts. See, God gives us these gifts.
Shoo, shaman,
and they all come through by the Holy Ghost.
Yes,
amen.
Lord. No other way.
He says, but rather that ye may prophesy, for he says, now he says, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. Now, what were those men doing in the upper room?
They were talking.
They were talking to God in a new language. Speaking the wonderful works of God.
That's right.
They speak not to men, but unto God, for no man understandeth him. Howbeit, in the spirit he speaks mysteries. What mysteries?
Right.
The mysteries of God.
That's it.
And that's what they were speaking, the mysteries of God. And that's what drew all those people to that upper room, because they heard them speaking the mysteries of God in their own language.
And that tongue that you have brings you into the supernatural realm. That mm-hmm. when he baptizes you, you're in the supernatural realm. And it's subsequent to being born again. It's so important. God wants every person to have this. Every single person, he wants us to have that, so we can walk in power and with the anointing that God has on our lives to accomplish and do what needs to be done.
So when you're praying in an unknown tongue, your spirit is praying.
That's right.
Your spirit is praying mm-hmm. and is praying to God.
That's right.
And God hears and understands. And God, so many times, he'll answer you and tell you, he'll answer you and he'll give you what he'll bring the understanding to you, that you'll know what you're praying.
Let me give you a quick example. Last week I was praying one morning. And I was praying in tongues, and the Lord just spoke this right to me. You know what I said? America's cup of iniquity is just about full.
I believe that.
That came from the Spirit of God.
I think a lot of people wouldn't believe that.
That's right.
Yes, because we should be able to see those things in the natural as well as in the spiritual, you know.
If the church was totally united in doing what God wanted with everything in the Bible, we wouldn't have all the divisions and the separation and the schisms and all that we have. We would be walking what? In unity and power.
When they come together like they did in
Acts
the upper
chapter,
room.
Yeah, well, it brought unity,
it
didn't
it? It brought unity.
Sure
and,
did.
And it brought the power.
That's
so
right.
That's the only thing that's going to bring unity
that's what we
and
need.
The power. Amen.
The anointing of the Holy Ghost. And you have ministers, you know, they talk about it in some of their church services, but you don't ever hear it come out. They think it's some kind of a secret thing that you just do it in a closet or you don't do it out in the open.
Do it privately.
You do it privately. No.
They weren't privately, were they?
No, it was noised abroad.
Yeah.
You
120
you,
people.
Yeah, open your service and pray in tongues. Get the people excited.
People.
Bring in the environment, the atmosphere of
you
God.
You have 120 people in your church, start all praying in tongues.
There,
you see what's going to happen.
It'll be a roar.
Well,
all right, we're almost out of time.
Gene and Donna Hilton, and we're blessed to be on this radio program.
Thank you, Lord.
Every Saturday, Lord willing. We're also on, you can listen to us on the internet. You can go to WCNO.com. You can listen to this program again. Mm-hmm. Just go to Saturday and look for Raising the Standard, Pastor Gene Hilton. And you can hear us again. Also, our phone number here in Stuart, if you'd like to come to visit us or you'd like a copy of a calendar, we'd be glad to mail it out to you, the one for June. We have Prophet Gary Brooks coming in, the 6th, 7th, and 8th, 7 and
don't
7
forget
o'clock,
those days,
Friday
yeah.
and Saturday.
Come.
And 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. And let me see what
come
else.
Come to be touched and stirred and activated.
Touched, yeah. stirred, and activated. So I'll give you the phone number here. It's area code 772-285-7007. I'll repeat that. Area code 772-285-7007.
So celebrate Pentecost this weekend. It's going to
next
come
weekend.
on the Jewish calendar. I mean, but the church will celebrate it next week. But the actual date will be this weekend. So celebrate it. And so, Lord, we thank you for what you're doing. And so as we close this program, we tell you to look up because your redemption draws nigh. And why do we say, Pastor?
Hi. Hi. Amen.
Hi. Hi.
Hey, hi. Shabbat Shalom. Sabbath peace and rest.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives. And remember that Jesus is Lord and that He is the Spirit of prophecy.